Welcome to Mindwalk, produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
So America, my country, running covert operations, using money that was not authorized by Congress, supporting groups indirectly that are involved with the same people that did 9/11.
Whoa, shit.
Oh, my God.
That was fucked.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That was that mean?
Yeah.
Charge radio.
That was a fucking attack.
This president is really taking his notion of executive privilege to the absolute limit here, running covert operations, using money that was not authorized by Congress, supporting groups indirectly that are involved with the same people that did 9/11. And we should be arresting these people rather than looking the other way.
Your bottom line is that Negroponte was aware of this, obviously, and he wanted to distance himself from it. That's why he decided to give up that position and take the number two job at the State Department.
That's one of the reasons I was told. Negroponte also was not in tune with Cheney. There was a lot of complaints about him because he was seen as much too of a stickler, too ethical for some of the operations the Pentagon wants to run.
Oh my God! It was a military plane. Oh my God! We just saw it happen. Where's Bob? Oh my God!
I think Mr. Gates' job and one of the things he wants to do is get some control over it. But under Rumsfeld, we were running operations all over the world with who knows what money and who knows what authority, because most of those operations were not briefed to the intelligence committees. But Negroponte was unhappy about, in general, about some of the things. He also, I don't think, liked, he may not have been terrific at his job, that's another factor, but certainly, John Negroponte went through this issue, Iran-Contra, in the 80s, when we had the first big debate over the use of unlawfully obtained money to buy arms. You know, the whole arms for Hashim's business was to generate cash to fight the war, the Contra war against the Sandinistas, that mess that we had. Negroponte was ambassador to Honduras there, very sensitive to the issue that took place 20 years ago. He did not want a repeat of it. You know, I understand this is very serious stuff, and my magazine understands this is very serious stuff. And we have really taken a lot of time with this story. This is serious business.
The article is entitled, "The Redirection, Is the Administration's New Policy Benefiting Our Enemies in the World?"
Thank you so much for being here. I am truly a fan of yours. You are a real investigative journalist. I'm grateful the New Yorker prints you so much. You broke the stories on the My Lai massacre, Abu Ghraib, and Iraq. You truly do see more. And What do you see now? I know from your latest article we should probably be worrying about a war with Iran.
Well, sure, we should be worrying every day about everything, but you know, we've got 1.5 years left, a little bit more than that, and I think we just have to wait it out.
So our friend Frank Rich over at the New York Times wrote a scary column this week, and he said the system is blinking red, just like it was right before 9/11, and he talked about the fact that Al-Qaeda is reconstituted in Pakistan. He always says, Bush always says Al-Qaeda is on the run, but actually no, they've settled down. They've got a lovely spot in Waziristan. And he quotes this Michael Schur, who was the head of the Bin Laden group at the CIA, the guy who was trying to get Bin Laden for all those years. And Michael Schur says, Al-Qaeda is in Afghanistan and Pakistan. If you want to address the real threat to America, that's where it is. Why do you think we keep fighting them where they aren't?
I think this is without question the most dangerous administration we've ever had in the history of the country, just in terms of what you're saying. They don't understand the Middle East. Right now they have a disaster in their hands in Iraq, and they're trying to fail forward, as somebody in the military told me, failing forward by just pushing into Iran. Maybe we'll bomb Iran, maybe we won't. But what they're doing is we're running clandestine covert operations with the help of the Saudis. In effect, we're outsourcing clandestine operations to the Saudi government, which is pretty amazing for an American government. We're outsourcing the most sensitive operations there are. We're not telling the Congress. We're disobeying the law. We're using money that isn't appropriated. The system is completely broken.
Whoa, shit.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
He's fucking bombing it. Holy fuck.
So let's review a little primer here, okay? The Sunnis, they're the majority of the Muslim world, right? The Muslim world has two divisions, the Sunnis and the Shia. Sunnis are 90%, and they include big countries like Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Jordan, and, of course, Al-Qaeda, our real enemy.
Absolutely.
Now, the Shiites, they're, of course, all of Iran. That's a Shiite country. That's the minority. And Iraq. Most of Iraq is Shiite, but they had always been ruled by the Sunnis, like Saddam Hussein was a Sunni. Now, we upended that country. We got rid of the Sunnis. The Shiites are now in control. So we're kind of worried now that the Shiites are ascendant. So I understand from your article that we have been funding some radical Sunni groups, which would be Al-Qaeda. So it seems to me in 5 years we've gone from threatening to wipe out Al-Qaeda to watching them become resurgent to now joining them.
Where the Second Amendment is live and well. I'm standing in the rental department. Want to shoot a 50 caliber Desert Eagle? Want to shoot a Glock? Want to shoot a high-powered rifle?
Guns in America.
You can rent them. They're $10 to rent. That's all it is. Come on in, rent the gun of your choice, because I don't want to make any money, folks. I just love to rent guns.
Guns in America.
Shoot a 50 caliber Desert Eagle? Want to shoot a Glock? Want to shoot a high-powered rifle? You can rent them for $10 to rent. That's all it is. Come on in, rent the gun of your choice, because I don't want to make any money, folks. I just love to rent guns.
Three religions down here. George Bush, God, country and Western. In that order. George Bush, God, country and Western.
Oh, there are the pickup trucks.
Take your foot down, and I think we've got a load of them on our tail.
Something's going on here, I'm telling you, because these three trucks that were in the petrol station have now just torn past us.
We need to get these slogans off, lads.
I'm a bit of a man.
The Dodge Guns, where the Second Amendment is live and well. I'm standing in the middle of the park. Want to shoot a 50-caliber desert eagle? Want to shoot a Glock? Want to shoot a high-powered rifle? You can rent them for $10 to rent. That's all it is. Come on in, rent the gun of your choice, because I don't want to make any money, folks. I just love to rent guns.
Johnny wants a brain. Johnny wants to suck on a coke. Johnny wants a woman. Johnny wants to think of a joke.
Are y'all gay looking to see how long it takes to get beat up in Hick Town?
I'm not gay. I'm married. I've got three children.
No, we're not. No. We just sort of decorated our cars in a distinctive manner.
NASCAR sucks. Country and Western is rubbish. Guess what? You're in a Hick Town, man.
We're going to die, man. That's it.
She said she was gonna get the boys. So we decided to scum.
I've just remembered, I've actually got loads of petrol.
And then, of all the moments...
Oi, jump leads.
You're joking.
Jump leads.
Not now.
This is gonna be the quickest jump in history.
Yeah. Where are you? You get the leads, I'll start it.
The rednecks arrived.
We just got a slight problem here.
This is bad.
Then they turned on the film crews. Rocks started pelting our bands.
What's happening?
For the next few moments, our TV program became a radio show.
Upstart radio.
Oh, there are the pickup trucks.
Can you take the foot down? I think we've got a load of them on our tail.
Something's going on here, I'm telling you, because these three trucks that were in the petrol station have now just torn past us. We need to get these locals off, lads.
With the artwork gone, we hit the road hard.
I'm doing something I never thought I'd do. I am running for the border.
God in heaven, that was actually frightening.
You could have killed us. They really do have an irony, the efficiency. I honestly believe that in certain parts of America now, people have started to mate with vegetables.
Hi, folks, this is Don from Don's Guns, where the Second Amendment is live and well. I'm standing in the rental department. Want to shoot a 50-caliber Desert Eagle? Want to shoot a Glock? Want to shoot a high-powered rifle? You can rent them. They're $10 to rent. That's all it is. Come on in, rent the gun of your choice, because I don't want to make any money, folks. I just love to rent guns.
God's made some decisions concerning you. If you'll hear my voice and you'll do what I told you to do, I'll supernaturally cause fear to rise up in your heart.
You look funny, Daddy.
I'm trying to sight this 9mm in on that 24-inch screen here. Right there on the tip of his nose there. And wait till you tell the big light. There goes one.
Daddy.
I'll be
good
back.
Good one, Daddy.
Well, it's time for Caitlin and Daddy's mailbag.
Can I play computer, Daddy?
No, this ain't a game here, Caitlin. This is what you call software.
Microsoft?
Excuse me? Don't you bring that foul gutter mouth talk back when your mother hears you. Just keep quiet. Little girl's supposed to be seen and not that kind of language come out of your mouth with soap. If you don't learn to wash your mouth out around this house, you never hear me talk like that, young lady.
Never mind.
All right, that's better.
Can I play your beard?
Caitlin, this here's like a email thing here. It's for words. It ain't had no pictures. It's a text editor. What?
Never mind.
Okay, let me see here.
Can I play your beard, Daddy?
Let's just do this mailbag thing for the radio, and then you
okay,
can...
Okay, Daddy.
All right.
Can I play your beard, Daddy?
Just right after this. All right, now Caitlin picked out this letter. She thinks it's real funny. I don't...
I don't really get it. Anyway, this is called 15 Things That You Never Hear From a Redneck. You ready, Caitlin?
Cool.
Okay, number one.
Checkmate.
Is that it? Okay, number two. Did you mail that check to Greenpeace? Number three.
Can I play your computer, Daddy?
Caitlin, will you just bear with me on this till we get to that?
I say it first and then you say it next.
I get it. That was number three. Okay. Number four. Who's Richard Petty? That's stupid. Okay, number five.
Do you think my hair is too big?
Okay. 15 things you never hear from a redneck. Number six. These bonsai trees need water. Number six.
Graceland is stupid.
Yeah, I don't care much for Paul Simon.
No,
number seven.
Never
my
mind.
My fiance, Paula Joe, is registered at Tiffany's. That's a whorehouse, ain't it?
I couldn't find it.
Hold on, Caitlin. I didn't say the number yet.
You gotta say, and I gotta
I got
say.
It. Number seven.
I couldn't find anything at Walmart today.
Yeah, okay. Number nine.
It's not
my turn.
I say it first and then you.
All right, go ahead.
It's not safe in the back of the pickup.
Pete's walking though. Okay, number 11. Cappuccino tastes better than expressions.
Espresso, Daddy.
All right, number 10.
We don't keep firearms in this house.
Can we get sued for that? Wait a minute. Number, never mind, go ahead.
The tires on that truck are too big.
Okay, number 11.
You can't feed that to your dog.
Must be talking about the cat. All right, number 13.
Wrestling is fake.
That's wrestling, not wrestling.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's only 12 of them, but that's it for Caitlin and Daddy's mailbox. Y'all come back and hear us now. See?
Can I play your computer, Daddy?
Yeah, go ahead. We're done.
What did you do with my subscription algorithm?
What?
Never mind. What are all these JPEGs, Daddy?
Hey, you ain't supposed to be hacking into that.
Are you talking to me?
Can I say something? Constitution. You're welcome.
Here is my philosophy. Death taxes. I believe that our path to extinction is permanent. We doubled the child tax, and you have used the marriage penalty. We cut small business. We delivered death. We keep more of your money. This week, we cut what you earn in half. All these signs point to one conclusion. Taxes worked. We keep more of what you earn. As we expected, taxes go up. And think of what that means for your family. Family of four, we reduce. We cut. You have two children. Typical family of four, we cut without lifting a finger. The White House. In your pocket.
Upstart Radio.
President Bush makes no secret of his distaste for looking backward, for assessing past results. But in our third story on the countdown tonight, and in his speech upcoming at the top of the hour, that will not be possible. Any meaningful assessment of the president's next step in Iraq must consider his steps and missteps so far. So let's look at the record. Before Mr. Bush was elected, he said he was no nation builder. Nation building was wrong for America. Now he says it is vital for America. He said he would never have put U.S. troops under foreign control. Today, U.S. troops observed Iraqi restrictions. He told us about WMDs, mobile labs, secret sources, aluminum tubing, yellow cake. He has told us the war is necessary because Saddam was a threat, because of 9/11, because of Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, because of terrorism in general, to liberate Iraq, to spread freedom, to spread democracy, to keep the oil out of the hands of potentially terrorist-controlled states, because this was a guy who tried to kill his dad. In pushing for and prosecuting this war, he passed on chances to get Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, Muqtada al-Sadr, Osama bin Laden. He sent in fewer troops than recommended. He disbanded the Iraqi army and de-Ba'athified the government. He shortchanged Iraqi training. He did not plan for widespread looting nor the explosion of sectarian violence. He sent in troops without life-saving equipment, gave jobs to foreign contractors and not the Iraqis, staffed U.S. positions in Iraq based on partisanship, not professional experience. We learned that America had prevailed, mission accomplished, the resistance was in its last throes. He has said that more troops were not necessary, and more troops are necessary, and that it's up to the generals, and then removed some of the generals who said more troops would be necessary. He told us of turning points, the fall of Baghdad, the death of Uday and Qusay, the capture of Saddam, a provisional government, the trial of Saddam, a charter, a constitution, an Iraqi government, the elections, purple fingers, a new government, the death of Saddam. We would be greeted as liberators with flowers. As they stood up, we would stand down. We would stay the course. We would never stay the course. The enemy was Al-Qaeda, was foreigners, was terrorists, was Ba'athists. The war would pay for itself. It would cost $1.7 billion, $100 billion, $400 billion, half a trillion dollars. And after all of that, today it is his credibility versus that of generals, diplomats, allies, Republicans, Democrats, the Iraq Study Group, past presidents, voters last November, and the majority of the American people.
So I had given orders to increase American forces in Anbar province by 4,000 troops. These troops will work with Iraqi and tribal forces to keep up the pressure on the terrorists.
Listen again to what the president said Wednesday evening. He said that success in Iraq requires taking steps against Iran and Syria.
These two regimes are allowing terrorists and insurgents to use their territory to move in and out of Iraq. Iran is providing material support for attacks on American troops. It will disrupt the attacks on our forces. It will interrupt the flow of support from Iran and Syria. And we will seek out and destroy the networks providing advanced weaponry and training to our enemies in Iraq.
Now, that is hardly a declaration of war, but then President Bush went on to list some of the other steps he's ordered. The deployment to the region of an additional aircraft carrier and the strike group that goes with it. Also, the deployment of Patriot air defense systems. None of it particularly useful for fighting insurgents in Al-Anbar province or Shiite militias in Sadr City, but if you were expecting a showdown with Iran, now that's another matter.
I recently ordered the deployment of an additional carrier strike group to the region. We will expand intelligence sharing and deploy Patriot air defense systems to reassure our friends and allies.
We no longer have a clue, sir. We have heard too many stories. Many of us are as inclined to believe you just shuffled the Director of National Intelligence over to the State Department because he thought you were wrong about Iran. Many of us are as inclined to believe you just put a pilot in charge of the ground wars in Iraq and Afghanistan because he would be truly useful in an air war next door in Iran. Your assurances, sir, and your demands that we trust you have lost all shape and texture. Oceania has always been at war with East Asia. Mr. Bush, this is madness. You have lost the military. You have lost the Congress to the Democrats. You have lost most of the Iraqis. You have lost many of the Republicans. You have lost our allies in this. You are losing the credibility not just of your presidency, sir, but more importantly, of your office itself. And most imperatively, you are guaranteeing that more American troops will be losing their lives and more families their loved ones. You are guaranteeing that. This becomes your legacy, sir. How many of those you addressed last night as your fellow citizens you just sent to their deaths? And for what, Mr. Bush? So that the next president has to pull the survivors out of Iraq instead of you?
Oh, listen to this comment from a high-ranking American official. It became clear that if we were prepared to stay the course, we could help lay the cornerstone for a diverse and independent region. If we faltered, the forces of chaos would smell victory, and decades of strife and aggression would stretch endlessly before us. The choice was clear. We would stay the course, and we shall stay the course. That's not President Bush speaking. It's Lyndon Johnson speaking 40 years ago, ordering 100,000 more American soldiers to Vietnam. Here's another quotation. The big problem is to get territory and to keep it. You can get it today, and it'll be gone next week. That is the problem. You have to have enough people to clear it, enough people to preserve what you have done. That is not President Bush on the need for more forces in Iraq. It is President Johnson in 1966. In Vietnam, the White House grew increasingly obsessed with victory and increasingly divorced from the will of the people and any rational policy. The Department of Defense kept assuring us that each new escalation in Vietnam would be the last. Instead, each one led only to the next. Finally, in 1968, in large part because of the war, Democrats lost the White House. Richard Nixon was elected president after telling the American people that he had a secret plan to end the war. We all know what happened, though. As president, he escalated the war into Cambodia and Laos, and it went on for six more years. There was no military solution to that war, but we kept trying to find one anyway. And in the end, 58,000 Americans died in the search for it. Echoes of that disaster are all around us today. Iraq is George Bush's Vietnam. As with Vietnam, the only rational solution to the crisis is political, not military. Injecting more troops into a civil war is not the answer. Our men and women in uniform cannot force the Iraqi people to reconcile their differences. The open-ended commitment of our military forces continues to enable the Iraqis to avoid taking responsibility for their own future. Tens of thousands of additional American troops will only make the Iraqis more resentful of America's occupation. It will also make the Iraqi government even more dependent on America, not less.
You are a slave. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
I want freedom!
It all happened so slowly that most people realize that anything can happen.
No, motherfucker, you was a man a minute ago.
Let me tell you why you are here. Here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter on your mind, driving you mad.
I will die in hell, and I will not make it anywhere.
I'm concerned with destruction. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more!
We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to new surfaces. Resistance is futile.
You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls.
Their intention to rule rests with the annihilation of consciousness. We have been lulled with friends. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain.
Shall we play?
I want to be a leader.
No, I want to be a leader.
We have got to realize we're being conditioned on a mass scale.
It's all about the information.
It's not a bunch of garbage, it's liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control the two sides of the same coin.
Two management teams bidding for control of the CEO job of Slavery Incorporated.
I want you to get mad. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
But we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization.
It's up to each and every one of us to turn loose just some of the greed, the hatred, the envy, and yes, the insecurities. Because that is a simple mode of control. Make us feel pathetic, small. So we'll willingly give up our sovereignty, our liberty, our destiny.
Welcome to America. Welcome to the land of the soul fuckers.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
What's happening today can only be called mind rape.
Bring them on.
Now watch this drive.
And there's not just one rapist. There are thousands upon thousands pumping and thrusting and fucking our minds.
You're either with us or against us.
Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
The president calls them his base. We must call them our enemies. They are the enablers and the perpetrators of these crimes.
Your enemy is not surrounding your country. Your enemy is ruling your country.
It'll take time to restore chaos, but we will.
The people who run this place don't care. They're elite. They're the base of power. This can only end in fire.
Can you hear me? They everything.
If you feel you are not properly sedated, call 348-844 immediately. Failure to do so may result in prosecution for criminal drug evasion.
Resistance is not futile. We're going to win this thing. Humankind is too good. We're not a bunch of underachievers. We're going to stand up and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get fired up about the real things, the things that matter, creativity, and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit. I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what you should want!
Remain where you are.
Born out of defiance against tyranny, must continue to defy it at every turn. The time is now.
The British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa, attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes suitable for nuclear weapons production. Several mobile biological weapons labs aids and protects terrorists.
You know, sometimes I wish I did a little more with my life instead of hanging out in front of places selling weed and shit. Like maybe be an animal doctor. Why not me? I like seals and shit. Or maybe an astronaut. Yeah. I'd be the first motherfucker to see a new galaxy or find a new alien life form. And fuck it. And people be like, there he goes. Homeboy fucked a Martian once.
Yet we're all held to the same standards and called to serve the same good purposes, to extend this nation's prosperity, to spend the people's money wisely, to solve problems, not leave them to future generations, to guard America against all evil, and to keep faith with those we have sent forth to defend us.
That
How does he get away with saying that? To extend this nation's prosperity. Mm-hmm. And he says, yeah, we're all held to the same standards, called to serve the same good purposes, to extend this nation's prosperity, which he's not doing. To spend the people's money wisely.
Which he hasn't done in Iraq.
What a lie. To solve problems, not leave them to future generations.
That's exactly what he's doing with Iraq and the deficit. Climate change, the deficit, the Iraqi war.
Alternative energy sources. Stem cell research. All left for future generations to worry about. I'm not going to worry about it. I got a war to fight.
We're extending it to future presidencies.
To guard America against all evil.
Like he did on September 11th.
Yeah, like he's not evil. And to keep faith with those we have sent forth to defend us. You know something? I want this to be a recurring theme here. A lot of paragraphs where he says the biggest lies and the biggest loads of crap that you could possibly imagine, he always ends it up with support the troops.
Yeah, basically, have faith in me sending more troops in. Have faith in the troops. Basically, the message is, if you don't support him sending in more troops, you don't support the troops.
Yeah.
That's the message I'm getting.
That's pretty much the message I'm getting as well.
Yet we're all held to the same standards and called to serve the same good purposes, to extend this nation's prosperity, to spend people's money wisely.
Wait.
To solve problems, not leave them.
$2 trillion on this war, they're estimating. By the time we paid off all the interest, $2 trillion. And what do we got to show for that?
Those we have sent forth to
defend. Well, and we bought a whole lot of corpses for that money. Bargain on the corpses.
And before this war even started, the Pentagon couldn't account for $2 trillion.
The government divided and uncertain in the air. Our citizens don't much care which side of the aisle we sit on.
We all hate
as
you.
As long as we're willing to cross that aisle when there's work to be done.
We're willing to cross that aisle to kick your ass. People hate this guy. He's got like a 33% approval rating.
I heard it's 28.
28. Like a 65% disapproval rating.
To make life better for our fellow Americans.
Well, people aren't stupid.
And to help them build a future of hope and opportunity.
That 30% hangs on tightly to the stupid.
A future of hope and opportunity begins with a growing economy. And that is what we have. We're now in the 41st month of uninterrupted job growth. Ooh. A recovery that has created 7.2 million new jobs.
Too.
This economy is on the move.
It's on the move.
To keep it that way.
It's on the back of a horse. But with on the back numbers. Of a fast-moving dog.
Running. He's running toward a cliff.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're falling down a cliff,
it feels like movement.
It feels like you're flying.
Next week, I'll
but you still haven't landed yet.
Radio. Welcome to Scan.org. It has been produced for NIMFM in NIMBIM, Australia, and for other non-profit media worldwide.
My life just toppled over like a tree in the wind, unsinged by the heat of the Big Bang. That was my universe floating around, cause I huffed and I puffed till I blew everything down. And now I stand at the crossroads, which way should I turn today? Let me consult quick, what does the oracle say? What does the future bring? But now I stand to attention and sing. Everything is falling down, everything is falling down. Strikes at the heart of the everlasting. The forever after is swinging from the rafters above a sea of laughter. And then there's me, cut loose but not fancy free, cause we need trees to breathe. And I've built myself a palace of concrete, a jungle of bricks and mortar. It's not sweet, it's defeat. And I need to give my lungs a treat. Everything is falling down, falling. Everything down. Is falling down.
They have done everything we have asked them to do. Suicide bombings, assassinations, outrageous acts of murder. It is clear that we need terror. Previous operations to secure Baghdad did not. The opposite happened. And one message came through loud and clear. Create chaos in the region. This time, silence. We'll have a green light. The consequences of greed are clear. Iran would be emboldened in its pursuit of nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons.
So I'm sticking up the caution signs all over my room. Back up, warning, enter and face your doom. Cause there's a space around me which might suck you in, but it'll spit you out after it's taken everything. Cause my heart is like a Big Mac, full of crap and cunningly wrapped, stacked to the top with double cruelty and cushioned with a layer of fat. What do you think of that? What do we think at all? It's funny how we never expect anything to fall.
Yet over time, we can expect mistakes, hateful ideology in our way of life.
And oil!
Let me be clear.
And
oil. Everything is falling down. Everything is falling down.
The British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa, attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes suitable for nuclear weapons production.
Those 16 words in which Mr. Bush had claimed in 2003's address that Iraq had tried to secure weapon-grade uranium from Niger, ultimately proving to be false. Recent claims from the president that Iran is providing advanced weaponry and training to our enemies in Iraq, something he's expected to repeat tonight in the State of the Union, proving to be equally suspect. Then, as now, the problem is this. No matter what the intentions of Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad or Saddam Hussein before him, the Bush administration providing scant evidence to support the claims. The Los Angeles Times reporting that journalists traveling with U.S. troops in Iraq have failed to see these extensive signs of Iranian involvement. A recent sweep through a stronghold of Sunni insurgents uncovering only a single Iranian weapon among dozens of arms caches. In addition, the newspaper reports U.S. officials declining to provide documentation of seized Iranian ordnance.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Irresponsible. The British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa, attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes suitable for nuclear weapons production.
Ultimately proving to be false. Then as now, the problem is this. No matter what the intentions of Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad or Saddam Hussein before him, the Bush administration providing scant evidence to support the claims. The Los Angeles Times reporting that journalists traveling with U.S. troops in Iraq have failed to see these extensive signs of Iranian involvement. A recent sweep through a stronghold of Sunni insurgents uncovering only a single Iranian weapon among dozens of arms caches. In addition, the newspaper reports U.S. officials declining to provide documentation of seized Iranian ordnance despite repeated requests to do so. The military often releasing photographs of other weapons finds.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
I deliberately misled the Congress and the people. That's irresponsible. I deliberately misled the Congress and the people. That's irresponsible.
Three, two, one.
Our country should not be asked, and should not ask of itself, to shoulder the main burden of determining the political reality in any other country, and particularly not in one remote from our shore, from our culture, and from the experience of our people. Not only not our business, but I don't think we can do it successfully.
This is became the order of the day.
It became a Tuesday conversation with security, carrying out intensive reconnaissance. We're still considering the advisability of another course of action, and therefore it would have been very unwise for us to inform him in detail what we knew. We did not want to give him the satisfaction.
Roger, the clock is operating. We're underway.
Yes, he might have announced it, and we would have been responding then to a mission to bear this way. So it's very important that we not tell him, or though I didn't mislead him, because I say I read my September statement, and was wondered why I was reading it, but he did not respond.
We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit. Reaching with magnificent precision to the moon. Falling
from
discord on earth.
Mankind must put an end to war, for war will put an end to mankind.
Mr. Government became the order of the day.
They became Tuesday accommodation, Thursday, carrying out intensive reconnaissance. We're still considering advisability of another course of action, and therefore it would have been very unwise for us to inform him in detail what we knew. We did not want to give him the satisfaction.
We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit, reaching with magnificent precision to the moon, falling into rocket discord on earth.
Yes, he might have announced it, and we would have been responding then to an initiative of theirs this way. He held the initiative, so it's very important that we not tell him, or though I didn't mislead him, because I said I read my September statement, and it was to wonder why I was reading it, but respond.
Mankind must put an end to war, for war will put an end to mankind.
Why we want to be rich. Robert Trump and Donald Kiyosaki are both getting richer, but America is getting poorer. Soon you will be either poor or poor. Donald and Robert want you to be poor. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan has become so wide and is growing so fast that it might eventually threaten the capitalism itself. The Federal Reserve, the main cause of the problem? Lack of education. Fourth grade level. Far behind. You can give a man a fish and feed him for a lifetime. Many people want to be told exactly what to do, and their recommendation is that you give your money to them.
There is a quiet, electric excitement. A long, black, tall, imposing, smiling and nodding. S.S. Pillow. That's amazing. I'm speechless. Let's do it. And we shake. Who am I? Who am I? Suddenly it seemed very small. Sell yourself short. Yeah. Hello. B.S. Yahoo. Country bumpkin. Taking a deep breath. The rich are getting richer. Jobs are being exported to China and India. Pensions disappearing. Yes. Terrorist attacks. Yes. So we definitely have some issues. Lick. Yes. Easily slip into poverty. Just to survive. I knew why we were coming together.
I expected him to be a powerhouse. Spills out. It's just a natural occurrence. I was impressed by that. Amazing. Together. But more than that, it would be fun. Right off the bat, monster hits. It becomes a pleasure. It quickly became a joint. There's nothing business. Boring, be bored.
The black pulls up to the backstage. Once again, the excitement builds. After about an hour, how big is... I was excited too. Major disappointment. Says who? I knew it was bad. Problems. That means losing. Insanity. It is insane. Ignorance.
Herd mentality. We are incapable of seeing, hearing, thinking, and doing. Box thinking is obviously alive and well. Become passive observers. Slowly sink into our comfort zones. I think, therefore I... Bigger.
The shrinking...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 programs are doomed.
The shrink.
Talking about the shrinking, someone with a very small... It came as a big surprise. I simply smiled. 1, 2. What does this mean? Junior, history. The rich hide their heads and pretend it isn't happening.
How to make yourself problems.
Problems. To make matters worse, problems. Problem is daunting. Problem compounds itself. Donald and I, we are wrong. Donald and I is in trouble. Problems suffer. Problem on my knees. My eyes were open to the reality, the harsh reality.
Fear replaces education.
Problems. Complacent minds. Problem fear can replace education. Ignorance can be easier. Fear. I've had some big problems, but I went bankrupt. Problems first. Then, in addition, easy to become discouraged. Yes. Problems. Remember, nothing. But who wants nothing?
Why we want to be rich.
Problems. It didn't do any good to think. Something is wrong. Well, problems. Many problems today. Many big corporations are subsidized by the government. Government handout. There are more government dollars going to rich people than to poor people. 1, 2, 5, 1, 5, 3. Problems. Very big problems. Problems. This problem leads to the next problem. 4. Baby. This problem leads to the next problem. 5. Problems. The problem. A problem caused by a lack of education. This problem leads to the next problem. 6. Lack greedy self-interest. Lack greed. Problems cannot be solved. 7. Tax breaks for the rich.
So how you like being on radio, Caitlin?
I want to be on TV.
You can be on TV anytime you want, honey.
How?
Why, through the miracle of
radio with vision. Hold on to your credibility. Time for another ultra-violent, plotless, nail-biting adventure. Stay tuned for
the Helen Dabney Files. You know, something's very strange here.
There's more to it.
Almost feels like something's about to happen.
Hold on, let me get that.
It's a matter of extreme urgency.
And Jeff Mumble.
Pouch Levelmatic Fresh and Arrived Dead. Tearing the dead. I need to know why.
Okay.
What did Agent Mumble say, Caitlin?
I have no idea.
Look out!
Damn, Daddy!
Let's get out of here, Caitlin.
Okay, Daddy.
Whistling sound makes me nervous. I'll cut that out.
Sorry.
Fine.
Don't have much time.
Uh-oh. Looks like we got here too late. Hold on, let me get this.
It might be a telephone.
Yeah, Daddy here.
Fight the cross there first.
It's Agent Mumble again.
You're an invertebrate scum suck moral dip short of two drops of who's fixing that bone dry.
All right.
What did he say?
I don't know, but he sure sounded ticked off.
There's more to it.
Something ain't right.
Conspiracy to cover up.
I can't understand him.
Look out, Caitlin.
Is there some kind of joke?
Let's get out of here, Caitlin.
Okay, Daddy.
Something very strange going on around here.
Trapped.
Don't worry about it. Something come up. All right, Agent Mumble to the rescue.
Hello.
Daddy here.
Stand by for an important announcement regarding your health insurance.
Standing by.
Your Medicaid policy does not cover sudden incarcerations or alien abduction.
What did he say?
Quiet, Caitlin. She said this is important.
This week.
Yeah, Daddy.
I think I broke my cell phone. Let's get out of here.
Oh, my God. Open the door. Somebody let me out of here.
What you doing, Caitlin?
Nothing.
You gonna let him out of there?
No.
Yeah, he's a real screamer, all right.
Let's get out of here. It's that whistling sound again.
Look out! Oh, it's just small arms. I thought it was an alien or something. Go ahead and drop that bomb on him so we can get to the commercial.
I'm going to listen with napalm.
That stuff smells terrible.
I love to smell napalm in the morning.
Smells like victory. See, now we got this gooey stuff everywhere.
What do you know about this?
It's human remains, I believe.
Alien bacteria.
Looks like roasted guts.
That's disgusting.
Alien bacteria?
It's the slime.
Polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons.
This stuff killed my partner.
Phone. I'm going to book my cell phone. Fields of Antarctica.
And that mumble.
Find my cell phone?
Some sort of anomaly. A mixed metaphor, perhaps.
I've seen this somewhere before.
Yeah, somebody changed the channel.
Alien bacteria.
It's a conspiracy to cover up. I need to know why.
Aromatic
hydrocarbons.
It killed my partner.
It's a matter of extreme urgency.
It killed my teddy bear.
Well, kill your television.
It's the slime.
I was inverted. I'm obsessed and deranged. I have existed for years, but very little has changed. The government and industry too, for I am destined to rule and regulate you. I may be vile and pernicious, but you can't look away. I make you think I'm delicious. With
I don't like it.
I say I'm the best you can get. Have you guessed me yet? I'm the slime oozing out from your TV set. You will obey me while I lead you in the garbage that I feed you.
Until the propaganda.
Don't will heed you. Your mind is totally controlled. It has been stuffed into my mold, and you will do as you are told.
Miss Frank.
So do I.
Lay down and take your rest.
And Jerry, too.
I want you to lay your
I don't want to be on TV.
Yeah, I know.
I want to be an artist.
Oh, yeah?
I love
a visionary.
Oh, but Jesus loves you the best.
You will. You are. Good night. I love you, baby.
I love you, too, Daddy.
Good night.
And we went to bed in this little shack kind of thing. And one of the guys in the group, he was an editor from back east. And he wakes up, and it was really hot and stifling. So he goes outside. It's still dark out. Sun hasn't come up yet. And he's sitting on the front steps of the shack, and he feels like somebody's watching him. And he turns around, there's these two little Haitian kids. So he beckons to them, you know. Not talking, but he's got a notebook and he's drawing pictures and they're doing hand signals. Kids say something to each other, and they nod and smile, and they grab them by the hand, and they say, you know, come on, we're going to take you somewhere, and they start dragging them off down this path into the woods. And the guy gets a little bit worried, you know, like, where the hell are these kids taking me? And they take them up the path, they're going up the side of this hill. And the guy, he was very honest, he was a white guy, and he said, all this racism that he wasn't even aware was in him started to come out, like, oh my God, they're going to take me and put me in a big pot. This racism. Going up the side of this hill, up this path, and this guy is starting to freak out. This guy is starting to freak out. And he says, just as he's like so scared that he's about to break away from him, the kids stop and they turn him around and they face him east. And the sun was just breaking the horizon at the end of that valley, and all the shafts of sunlight were shafting into the trees, and all the songbirds were coming to song. And he said it was the most beautiful experience of his entire life. And he looked down, and these two little kids were looking up at him with these huge smiles on their face because they knew what they just gave him. These kids didn't have shoes. They didn't have real pants. They had rags on. They had no material wealth, and they reached out across the entire class structure of the planet to a guy from the top of the pyramid, from their position at the bottom, and they touched his heart in a way that changed his life forever. That guy will never be the same. When he told us the story, we all cried, right? Now, if those little kids who are not literate and have no material resources can do that, we can change the world. We can end hunger, we can end war, we can end environmental destruction. It's not as hard as it sounds. We can change.
This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production for non-profit use.